Hello, everyone. My name is Feng Yu, and my wife there is Feng Zhou. We are from now from Grace Church of Clarksburg, and I'm a pastor intern there. So we are planning to do a Chinese church planting there, maybe in the next 2 or 3 years. Thanks for Adam's invitation today, so we can be here to worship with all of you together. And I'm also very grateful that I have this privilege to preach God's word to you. And I hope that the Lord would strengthen both you and us through His word. So, before pandemic, I watched the movie 1917. The movie tells a story about a local war between Britain and Germany in the First World War. In the beginning of the movie, two British soldiers received a very special mission to deliver a message to the British commander at the front line to stop him giving the full-scale attack order. Because their German enemy has set up a trap for them to fall in. So the two soldiers' mission was very important. It's going to save all those other soldiers' lives. After several hours of traveling, one of the two British soldiers finally reached the front line in the moment right before the British commander gave his order. Since the commander's office located at the end of the trench, and the soldier trying to move his way in the trench, but there were full of British soldiers in the trench, so the soldier moved very slowly. And as he was moving his way to the office, the commander gave his order. Right after which, all the soldiers in the trench came out and started charging. And the soldier, in order to deliver the message as soon as possible, he also came out from the trench so that he can run in the field to the office to stop the order. And as he was running to the office this way, he was almost hit down by those other soldiers who were charging forward. And in this scene, I saw the clarity and firmness in the soldier's heart to deliver the message. He knew that his mission was to deliver message, but not like other soldiers charging forward. And he knew that his message was really important because it's going to save all those other soldiers' lives. And finally, he successfully made to the office and deliver the message and save all those other soldiers' lives. And in this scene, this soldier really reminds me of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus was on earth, he was also very clear and firm about his mission. Though sometimes Jesus needed to perform miracles to heal people, just like the soldier on his way to deliver the message, he need to have gunfight. But healing physical sickness was not Jesus' ultimate mission on earth. His ultimate mission was to save man from the origin of all sicknesses, both physically and spiritually, and that origin is sin. Today we are going to see Luke chapter 5, verse 12 to 16. May God use this passage to help us understand more about Jesus' ultimate mission on earth, that we may also be influenced by it and hold our main mission clearly and firmly. I will read this passage in Chinese first and then in English. Please listen to God's word. 路加福音第5章12节，有一回，耶稣在一个城里，有人满身长了大麻风。看见他，就俯伏在地，求他说：“主若肯，必能叫我洁净了。”耶稣伸手摸他说：“我肯，你洁净了吧？”大麻风立刻就离了他的身。耶稣嘱咐他：“你切不可告诉人，只要去把身体给祭司查看，又要为你得了洁净，照摩西所吩咐的献上礼物，对众人做证据。”但耶稣的名声越发传扬出去。有极多的人聚集来听到，也指望医治他们的病。耶稣却退到旷野去祷告。While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest, and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for proof to them. But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him, and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Please pray with me. Father, we give this time to you. I pray that your Holy Spirit work among us so that all of us may be built up in your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. In the beginning of the text, it said that while Jesus was in one of the cities, before we go to explore the story, we need to have some background knowledge here from the context. Jesus has started his earthly ministry for some time at this point, and his fame has spread to many places. Where Jesus goes, there will be a crowd of people following him. In chapter 4, verse 14 to 15, it said that, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the report about him went out through all the surrounding country, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And in chapter 4, verse 32, it said that they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in chapter 5, when Peter said to Jesus, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord, Jesus told him, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. According to these descriptions about Jesus, we can imagine that when people talking about Jesus at that time, they might say this, oh, Jesus, he is really special. He's not like Pharisees, because in his teaching, there is authority, and he has the power to heal and exorcise demons. What's more important is that he does not despise sinners, but care for them. Therefore, under this report, there were a lot of people, especially those people who were poor, sick, despised, and outcasts. They love to see Jesus. They love to listen to his teaching and seek help from him. And this time, there came a man full of leprosy. So in biblical times, leprosy was a collective term for a series of skin diseases. Some kind of leprosy can be healed, but some other kinds cannot be healed. In the worst case, it can disfigure a man, even kill a man. In the ancient world, the only way to deal with leprosy was quarantine. Just as when COVID first attacked the world, there was no other way to deal with it except quarantine. So in Leviticus 13:46 says something about leprosy that he shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So if a man had leprosy in Israel at that time, he was regarded as unclean. He needed to be separated from the presence of God and the community life. He couldn't work to provide for himself. If one has family members, they may brought food for him or her. But if one doesn't have any families, one can only live on food donated by some kind people. So lepers suffer both physically and spiritually. In this passage, the man came to Jesus was described as full of leprosy. We can tell that this is a desperate man. Where can this desperate man find his hope? After briefly introducing the man, Luke immediately tells us that this desperate man saw Jesus. This desperate man saw Jesus. What a beautiful picture. If you have the gift of painting, how will you paint this scene? A desperate man saw his hope, saw his Savior. Can you imagine the desire to be healed in the man's eyes when he saw Jesus? And as he saw Jesus, He immediately fell upon on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. From the leper's accent and words, we could see further several important things about him. First, the leper falling on his face and calling Jesus Lord tells us that he humbled himself before Jesus. Second, he fully trusted that Jesus had the ability to heal him. And at last, his deepest desire was not only to be healed from the leprosy, but to be clean. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And once again, we see that leprosy brought not only physical pain to this man, but also spiritual pain, making him desire for cleanness, with which he could finish his quarantine and be reconnected with God and people. And then the most surprising thing happened in this story. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Just now, I have given some background knowledge about leprosy. It is contagious. It is unclean. So in Israel, no one would get close to a leper, let alone touch a leper. But Jesus here not only came close to him, but also touched him. I don't know for how long the leper had not been contacted so closely, treated so friendly by people because of his leprosy. Every person he met before had concern about his leprosy and dared not to have close contact with him. But Jesus here touched him without any concern. Here we see Jesus' deep love for the man. He could just speak and heal the man, but he touched him first and then spoke to him, saying, I will be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him, a miracle happened. The man was healed. We saw God's mercy and power manifested through Jesus in this miracle. And with other gospel accounts, we know that Jesus' true identity is the Son of God. That's why Jesus did not become unclean when he touched the leper, but the leper became clean after Jesus touched him. So, there is life and power in the Son of God. When the leper put his trust in Jesus, he received healing from God. What a beautiful story of God's mercy and power shown in his Son, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for his mercy. And now we come to the second part of this passage, Jesus' ultimate mission on earth. After Jesus healed the leper in verse 14, he charged him to tell no one, but go and show himself to the priest and make offering for his cleansing as Moses commanded for proof to them. Here we can easily understand why Jesus asked the man to show himself to the priest and make offering for his cleansing, because this will help him to be reconnected with God and reaccepted by the community. Once the priest proclaiming his cleansing in public, he can worship God and go back to his normal life again. But what seems difficult for us is why Jesus asked him to tell no one. And in verse 15 to 16, when even more the report about Jesus went abroad, Jesus would withdraw himself to desolate places and pray. It seems like Jesus was unwilling to help those people in need. Why? Is it not good that a desperate man being healed from leprosy? According to our human perspective, we love to see more of this kind of miracle happen, right? We love to see more lepers and people with other infirmities being healed and get back to normal life. If Jesus really cares about those in suffering and he has the power to heal, why he would withdraw himself from those needs? In fact, similar things also happened in other gospel accounts. In the Gospel of John, after Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, people were trying to make Jesus their king, but Jesus withdrew to the mountain by himself. According to our understanding, at that time Israel was under the oppression of the Roman Empire, and they are God's chosen people. They should be liberated from the oppression. And Jesus, if you really care about God's people And if you are the Son of God, you can perform miracles, then free God's people from the bondage, just like Moses in history freed Israel people from the slavery in Egypt. Why would you withdraw yourself from people's needs? And today, many people who don't believe Jesus also have the similar question that if Jesus, you are really the Son of God, you have the power, and you really care about the world, why don't you just end all sufferings and evils in this world? Haven't you seen that there are so many sufferings and needs in this world? Do you really care about us? Or are you really the Son of God? Or even, do you really exist? So through these questions, we see that people's unbelief starts from their unmet needs, then goes to doubt about God's character, and then about God himself, even the existence of God. But they don't ask the question why. Why are there so many sufferings and evils in this world? What is the root cause for these sufferings and evils? The Bible tells us that the root cause for all sufferings and evils in this world is sin, sin committed by man. In the book of Genesis, we saw that the first man, Adam, committed the first sin against God in human history, and then sin came into the world. All people now live under the influence of sin, and as it is said in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Here, it is also very clear that all sinned, not only Adam sinned, but all sinned, and all human beings are sinful before God. The Apostle John said that if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And our sin causes all the sufferings and the evils in this world. In other words, it is because of human sin that there are so many sufferings and evils in this world. So we cannot blame God for them. We cannot say, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, then you are responsible to solve all these problems. No, Jesus is not responsible for any suffering or evil in this world, but we human beings, we are responsible for them because of our sin. And we need to know that one of the most terrible influence sin brings to us is to make us self-centered, which means we take everything else for the purpose to serve us. Even God is to serve us. In that way, self-centeredness makes us crooked and blind to the truth. Therefore, we cannot think in the right way. We cannot make right judgments about ourselves, about the world, about God. And what's more is that sin also brings separation between us and God. Just now we saw that because of the uncleanness of the leprosy, the leper needed to be separated from the presence of God and the community. But do we know that in God's eyes, the most unclean sin is not leprosy, but sin, because God is holy and righteous. So if the problem of sin is not solved, people are living under God's holy wrath and are separated from God. And this separation is more severe than what the leper experienced. Though the leper was quarantined to a desolate place, there are still mercies shown to him by his family members or some kind people. But for those who are separated from God and have no way to be reconciled with God in this life, there will be no mercy upon them at all after this life. The only thing they got is eternal punishment in suffering. After we really understand this, we can come back to Jesus' response to human needs and his ultimate mission on earth. Jesus came to the world not merely to meet people's physical needs, but to solve the problem of sin, the root problem of everything else, including all sufferings and evils. So neither healing people from physical sickness nor freeing people from political oppression was Jesus' ultimate mission on earth. And Jesus, like the British soldier, he knew his mission so clearly and he held it so firmly that he would not allow anything else to stop him from his mission or to make anyone misunderstand about his mission, because he is the only way through whom men can be reconciled with God. Just as Jesus himself said that, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If people have a wrong view about Jesus, let's say only take him as a man who can perform miracles to heal sickness or to perform miracles to do other things for their benefits, then they will miss the point about Jesus' ultimate mission. In that way, they are in a greater danger to lose their only salvation from God. That's why in the gospel accounts, sometimes we see Jesus withdrew himself from human needs. And in order to save sinners like us from God's holy wrath, Jesus went to the cross for us. As many of us may know that the cross was the cruelest punishment in the Roman Empire at that time. It was used on those most wicked criminals, such as robbers or murderers. Usually the criminal who is sentenced to be crucified is strongly despised by others because of his guilt, and the criminal will suffer tremendous pain, physical pain on the cross before death as a punishment for his guilt. But when Jesus was sentenced to be crucified by the Roman governor, the governor said that, I find no guilt in him. So here the cruelest punishment for most wicked criminals was used on a totally innocent man. Why? Why this innocent Jesus was put to death on the cross? The answer is that on the cross, Jesus undertook our sins and received God's holy wrath against sin so that sinners like you and me, we can be forgiven by God, could be reconciled with God. And one more thing we need to know is what made Jesus suffer most on the cross was not his physical pain. Though it was very painful, but it was not. But his separation from God made him suffer most. Just as he cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? In order to save sinners like you and me from God's wrath, Jesus undertook our sins on the cross, and that made him the object hated and abandoned by God. That's what made Jesus suffer most, and that is for our reconciliation with God. So here we could see that on the cross, Jesus suffered both physically and spiritually to make sacrifice for our sins, to save us from God's holy wrath, and reconcile us to God. And that's the love Jesus showed to all sinners like you and me. Therefore, after we have seen the problem of sin, Jesus' sacrifice and suffering on the cross, and Jesus' love for sinners, we could understand better why Jesus' automation was so important and why he must concentrate himself on it. It is for our salvation. And today, as we see Jesus withdrew himself from human needs, what are we going to say? I think that we will say, oh Jesus, your decision was the wisest decision. Your determination for your mission was the greatest determination in this world. We praise you for your sacrificial love shown to us on the cross. Your cross is God's grace and glory. We will hold it and proclaim it to the end of the earth and to the end of our time on this earth. Amen. Okay, as we have finished this text, now let's spend some time to apply what we have learned from this text to our lives. I have 3 points in the following. First, the most miserable thing for man is separation from God eternally. The most miserable thing for man is separation from God eternally. As we talked about, that leprosy makes one separated from the presence of God and the community life, maybe temporarily, makes one's life miserable, but sin makes one separated from God. And if one's sin is not forgiven by God in this life, he will suffer eternally. And that is the most miserable thing one can experience. With this perspective, we have the true insight about people's eternal welfare and destiny. We are grateful that we have been saved by God's grace. in Jesus Christ. Jesus touched us with his mercy, just as he touched the leper. But today, we have seen there are so many people in this world who haven't heard about Jesus yet. They are still living under God's holy wrath. They are still haven't heard the gospel yet. And those people are just living around us as our neighbors, as well as living far away from us as strangers. How can those people receive God's mercy and grace today? How can those people meet Jesus and be touched by him today? For our neighbors, I think, as Christians, as the people who received God's grace, we need to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to them through our witnesses. So brothers and sisters, live out your faith, hope, and love among your neighbors that they may be touched by Jesus through your witnesses to the gospel. And for those people who are far away from us, even as strangers, let's pray for them. Pray that God will use different churches to witness the gospel to them. And here, we really appreciate and need your prayers for our Chinese church planting at Clarksburg. You can join us in prayer to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to those Chinese people that they may repent from their sin and turn back to God. Second, our God is a merciful and gracious God, so we can always come to him for help. In this story above, we see God's mercy and power towards man through his son, Jesus Christ. In God, there is mercy for those who seek him humbly, and especially for those who have been forgiven of their sins in Jesus Christ, because they have become children of God. And we have assurance about God's love for us, for he had already shown his love to us in his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Though we have talked about Jesus' ultimate mission on earth, which was to solve the spiritual problem of God's holy wrath against sin, it does not mean that God does not care about our physical needs. Quite the opposite. He really cares about our physical needs. How can we know that? We can know this from Jesus' resurrection. After Jesus died on the cross, he was raised by God 3 days later with a new resurrected body, which he's also going to give to all those who put their trust in him. If God does not care about our physical needs, why he would give us a resurrected body, which are totally free from sin, sickness, and death? And what's more is that scripture calls our body the temple of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit chooses our body to be his temple, I think that means God really cares about our body and all our physical needs. Scripture also tells us our Lord Jesus Christ, who is now sitting at the right hand of God the Father, is our heavenly high priest. So we can always come to him for help. So brothers and sisters, like the leper, we can bring all our burdens, bring all our fears, bring all our anxieties to Jesus, and he will have mercy on us. And if we come to him in faith, we will experience his mercy, his power, and see his glory as the Son of God, just like the leper experienced in his life. Finally, as church, we should hold on to our major mission today. So this point is similar to the first point, but this point is more about as a collective congregation, as a church family, we should hold on to our major mission today. Just as Jesus was so firm and clear about his mission, the church today should also hold firm our major mission from God, and that is to hold firm and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. In this way, we can save both ourselves and those who hear us. For us, we know that we have been saved by God through faith in Jesus Christ once for all, but we are still fighting with our indwelling sin, with the world, and with the devil. And only the gospel can provide the power we need to fight against those enemies, because our Lord Jesus Christ has conquered those enemies through his death and resurrection. For those people who are still in darkness but would love to hear us, only the gospel can save them from sin and death, reconcile them to God. And today, as Jesus met with a lot of human needs, we are also surrounded by different human needs, which will distract us from the gospel. Therefore, church, every time when we gather together, let's hold on to our major mission, hold firm and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to ourselves as well as to this world. Don't be distracted by any other secondary issues, and put Jesus Christ and his gospel in the center of all our ministries. May all glory be to our God, his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.